Paul says that Abraham didn't waver at the promise of God. He was fully convinced of it. But when you go back to the book of Genesis, I think you see quite a bit of doubting and struggling over it. So, what's going on here? Let's take a look at it, my friends. Colin Cook here, and How It Happens, thanks for joining me today. You're listening to a broadcast on the grace of God to men and women in conflict with their humanity. That's all of us, of course. Some people have that conflict in addictions, very overt addictions, although all humanity is addicted, though many people don't realize it. And others have that struggle more in terms of the outward circumstances of their lives, finances or relationships or health. We're looking at how we know the grace of God in these circumstances, how we train our faith to intercept our struggles. That's what this broadcast is all about, How It Happens, my friend, how the grace of God happens. And how your faith happens, how that works too. All right, let's look at Romans 4. Let's remember what this is all about now. Romans 4 is Paul's attempt to make very, very clear the origins of Israel. Why they were chosen. Were they special? Was it because they kept the law? Was there the promise dependent upon their law-keeping and their covenant law-keeping, or was it based upon the promise of God? Paul shows that clearly Abraham was declared innocent, justified before ever he had faith, before ever he had obedience, before ever he was circumcised. And it is this faith that God gave him, counting him as righteous when he was not, that leads to our understanding that we are saved by the grace of God and we receive it by faith. Now then, Paul makes this really unusual, seemingly strange anyway, statement. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was counted to him as righteousness, or accounted to him as righteousness. Now, Paul makes three statements here. He was not weak in faith, he did not waver at the promise, and he was fully convinced of it. Well, it's not difficult to go back to the book of Genesis, my friend, and see Abraham doing all of three of those. He was weak at one point and felt that the promise was either taking too long or just wasn't working out, and so through Sarah, so he tries it through Hagar. You remember that story and all the trouble that has ensued thereafter and ever since. And then you remember when God says that and tells him to that he will be the heir of the world and will that all families in the earth shall be blessed through his seed. He says, "Oh Lord, how shall I know that I shall possess it?" I mean, if that isn't a struggling faith and a struggling doubt, I don't know what is. I think the story itself is fraught with enormous real humanity in Abraham. The humanity of faith, yet struggling with his humanity of doubt, the natural flesh that does not believe God. It is only faith that believes God. So what's Paul on about here? My guess is, and the best I can come up with, is that what Paul is saying is that Abraham kept bouncing back, that he had his periods of doubt, that he went off track, but he got back on track. This was a man who had had this promise for 24 years and still believed it at the end. Now, this to me is enormously encouraging. What about you? You see, our faith is never perfectly stable, is it? perfectly equanimous. It is never totally calm. It believes one day, or even some part of the day, and then doubts the next, and believes again and is sure, and then gets off track and tries to force the promise by one way or another, just as Abraham tried to force the promise by getting the child through Hagar. But in all of these 24 years, Abraham kept believing and coming back. He would not waver from it. He would not allow his faith to weaken so that he gave it up. He became fully convinced that what God had promised he was able to perform, even though Abraham at times tried to help God on the way. And even though at times Abraham said, I need some more assurance. I mean, he implied that clearly when he says, Lord, how shall I know? And so God takes him outside and shows him the stars, and he says, count them if you can. This is how your seed will be numbered. So I want you, my friend, to be enormously encouraged by this fact, that not being weak in faith and not wavering at the promise and being fully convinced of it is the dynamic of constantly returning to the point of trust, even when we begin to doubt. Now, those of you who've had very overt addictions, or do have, you know, like drugs or alcohol or heterosexual or homosexual addiction or food issues, will know this from very guttural experience, won't you? You will know that there's a day when you have faith and you really are confident and joyful and you're feeling victorious and you have 3 or 4 days of freedom or a week or a month. And then, bam, it all goes downhill. Everything goes wrong. And what do you do? Well, do you give up? No, of course not. You bounce back, don't you? The truth of the gospel, that Christ counts us righteous even when we are wicked, gives us the tenacity to keep going on, gives us the resilience, what I sometimes call the bounce-back ability. That's what we need. That's what you and I can have. You know, remember what it says in the Gospels. The apostles ask Jesus, how many times shall we forgive a man who sins against us each day? Shall we forgive him 7 times? Now, they thought they were being generous, because I think, according to tradition, the Jewish tradition was 3 times. Forgive him 3 times. Well, you know, the apostles thought they would double it and add 1. 7 times. Shall we forgive a man 7 times? Jesus said, I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Now, you think of a human being forgiving another human being 490 times a year. I mean, a day. Just think of that. It's just not imaginable, really, is it? So what is Jesus implying? He's implying that a person is in a constant state of forgiveness, constant state of forgiveness every day of his life. If God calls men to forgive 70 times 7, 490 times a day, then are we not surely forgiven oodles of times a day by our Heavenly Father? Yes, of course. And this is why, you see, we can bounce back. The gospel is, and I've mentioned it to you before, 4 verse 5, when we were way back in that verse, but to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, or, as the King James Version puts it, justifies the wicked. Oh, boy, what a statement that is. His faith is counted as righteousness. We believe in the generosity of God. We believe, though we fall 490 times a day, that the Lord will declare innocent all who trust in his generosity, all who trust in his goodness. This is why you can be like Abraham. Do not for one moment put Abraham on a pedestal as having some supreme gifted faith that is not like yours. I must say, Paul gives you that impression, not being weak in faith, not wavering at the promise, fully convinced of it. He gives you the impression that Abraham has some utterly unhuman faith. Well, I'm sure that was not Paul's intention, because we, as I've said, read the story in Genesis, and it is clear as day that Abraham's faith was as rollicking, or there's another word for it, but anyway, just up and down, and had vicissitudes in it just as much as ours does. But again, I say to you, it was an unweakened faith, it was an unwavering faith, it was a fully convinced faith in this sense that it kept bouncing back until the promise was fulfilled. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, I always love that verse where it says, recording all of the great deeds, you know, of the patriarchs, of Noah and Moses and Joshua and all of these people. Then it says, all these died in faith, not having received the promise. And Paul is, and the writer of Hebrews is saying that we'll all receive the promise together when the Lord brings it to us at the second coming of Christ. What I like about that verse is that they died in faith. In other words, they didn't give up until their very last breath, and even then they didn't give up. I'd like that to be on my tombstone, actually. He died in faith. That's the happy ending of our lives. Not that we live fairy tale lives and we live happily ever after in the sort of material sense, but that we live happily ever after in this sense, that no matter how many spiritual tornadoes hit our life, no matter how many hurricanes sweep through, the experience of being on this planet, we die in faith. We come right to the end still believing. That's the life that you can have, my friend, when you trust in Christ, having a faith that does not waver. Now, friends, we're on a countdown to the seminar, just 2 days left before the seminar on Saturday, the 30th of April, Exploring How We Grow. You know, there are many ingredients that go into the process of growth. Some of them are conscious. We make choices, we have faith decisions that we make, we change lifestyles and what have you. And many of these ingredients of growth are unconscious. Some changes come about when we have no clue that they're happening through the gradual development and process of our lives. Change flows through the various stages of life. But some growth stops when we fail to pass through certain of life's stages. You know, when growth is arrested in childhood, for instance, and we get stuck in a trauma. And until we deal with that trauma, growth does not continue. So we'll look at that. We will explore the various ways we grow, the forces of change that shape our life, the differences between conscious and unconscious growth, developmental phases, what they are, and arrested growth and how we restart it again, and the difference between change and faith alone without works. I welcome you to this seminar because it will help you to understand your life's journey. It will help you to know the phases you are going through at present. It will help you to make more sense of the seeming confusion of your life at the moment. So, Saturday the 30th of April, just a couple of days from now, at La Quinta Inn, 7190 West Hampden Avenue, Lakewood. Admission is by donation. Recommended is $70 to $110 if you can manage it. It helps the annual budget. But don't worry if you can't. All donation levels are gladly accepted, and nobody's going to check you out. So, Exploring How We Grow, I hope to see you at 9 o'clock, a little bit before then, my friend, on Saturday morning. Cheerio, and God bless.